Now, before Christmas, I did a series on Sunday mornings on the theme temptations we face. I think there were six parts to that series, and then December came and Christmas came along and we focused on that. There's still a few in my mind that we could look at, and one of them, which I had prepared before Christmas, preached it in Wakaran actually, end of November, is this one here. The temptation to judge other people. A temptation that we probably have faced since we came into this building tonight. And that's me judging you, by the way. But it probably is true. And you'll know that if it is, or maybe you won't, that's the problem, of course. But it's a very, very real, profound and deep temptation that is so much part of our lives and woven into the thought patterns of our lives that we often don't even notice that it's there and that we are judging. But the temptation is that we feel free to judge, to pass judgment on others. And I'm going to think about this tonight. I'm going to continue on this theme, God willing, in a fortnight's time, and we might do one or two of the other temptations just to finish off that series. We'll see. Anyway, I recently went to the bottle bank in Kyle on a Monday with a very large bag. This is not the actual bag, but with a very large bag of glass items. There were jars that had sauce in them and jam in them. There were lemonade bottles. There was a broken glass. There were a few beer bottles. There were several wine bottles. And there were two or three bottles that had spirits in them. This is what I did. I went to the bottle bank in Kyle with this bag, and as I was putting the bottles in, I thought, this looks bad to anyone looking on. And perhaps that was me judging the people looking on, but it's easy to judge. Now, who drank the contents of these bottles particularly? I'm not concerned about the jars of jam so much, but who drank the contents of the bottles? Was it me? Was it me and my family? Was it just my family? Was it visitors? Or was I doing a favour for someone and taking someone else's bottles to the bottle bank? Had the contents of these bottles just been drunk at the weekend that had just passed, or had the contents of these bottles been drunk over months of time? Now, if you're looking on at the bottle bank at whoever it is, whether it's me or someone else shoving their bottles into the bottle bank, it is easy to judge. It is easy to speculate, first of all, and then our speculations about the backstory of all those bottles that are going into the bottle bank becomes our conclusion. And we, on the basis of that conclusion, measure the person up. And we may, if our conclusion is a negative one, condemn the person. And beyond that, we may take our condemnation into the community and gossip about it. Jesus said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I want to ask you tonight, as I ask myself, Do you know what a great evil judging is? Have you seen the evil that passing judgment on other people is? There were a couple of locals watching me as I put the bottles in the bottle bag. I seriously considered waiting until they'd gone before I emptied the bottles into the bottle bag. Because I thought to myself, and this is judging them, shouldn't do it, mustn't do it. I sinned. I thought to myself, they may go away and say, the minister's got a problem. And that would soon get round, because the sin of judging other people often leads to the sin of gossip. Gossip is when we make someone else's judgment our own judgment and pass it on. We shouldn't do that, because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, matters should be established. If one person has gossiped to you about someone else, then you should never repeat that, because you're breaking the law of God. But in getting round the community, that kind of gossip might do harm. Well, it might do harm to my name. It might do harm to people associated with me, to the church, to the gospel, to the name of Christ. Judging is a very great evil. Now, you have grown up in communities and church communities. Thinking back, has passing judgment done damage in those communities? Has it done damage to the reputation of the character of Christ and to his church and to Christians? And indeed to those in the community raised in the environment where judgments are being passed. Well, in my experience, I think the answer has to be yes. My experience. Do we see what a great evil judging is? Now, I'm not going to tell you whose bottles they were, because I'm going to give you a chance to practice what Jesus commands you to do. Do not judge. Do not condemn. What does this mean? And Jesus is not saying, you know, judgment is okay in this, and this situation, but don't do it then. He simply says, do not judge. What does it mean? The term condemn, the second term, do not condemn, is specifically the term you would use to describe a court that has sat and found someone guilty and determined a punishment for them. They have condemned them as guilty and worthy of that punishment. And what we are doing, if we are contravening this commandment, is, in our minds, we are looking at someone and we are sitting as court and we are sifting the evidence as we have it. We are coming to the conclusion that they are guilty of whatever crime we have determined to accuse them of. And we have done so on the basis of insufficient evidence, because we certainly have not heard the pros and cons. And we are offering them nothing more than a guilty verdict and condemnation. We're jumping to a conclusion about someone's behaviour, the motivations behind it, and the true nature of it, without conclusive proof. And we're doing this according to the flesh, according to the way it appears to us. Let me ask you, how much evidence would you need to really know what was going on at that bottle bank? And the answer is, more than you could ever get. You would have to know more about that situation than you could possibly find out by interviewing me and any other people who may in some way or other be implicated in the business. The only person who can pass judgment on the situation is the person who knows all the facts about the situation, plus the person who has this mental capability of taking all the facts and of understanding what they mean and of measuring them up against a perfect standard and of coming to a perfect conclusion. And you know there is only one person who can do that, and it's not you. The condemning person has no grace, has no mercy, has no forgiveness. But God is a God of mercy and forgiveness and grace. But there is a consequence to judging, Jesus says, and that is we will be judged. And there is a consequence to condemning, and that is we will be condemned. I'm not sure I fully understand what that means. In fact, I'm certain I don't. I'm not sure what it means that with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I have thought about this a lot in the past and again recently, because we do believe in the grace of God as Christians. But Jesus is speaking to, among others, his disciples here in the Sermon on the Mount and presumably here as well in Luke chapter 6. And he is saying that they are going to experience something if they judge, which is being judged, whatever that's like. Does that mean that God will treat you as though he has no mercy for you when he does? I'm not entirely sure what it looks like. I think of Jonah. Jonah judged Nineveh. That's for sure. Judged and condemned and sat there waiting for the fire to come from heaven. And it didn't. God wanted Jonah to be merciful, but he wasn't. God grew up a vine to shade him from the heat of the sun, and he was glad of the mercy, but he still didn't show mercy to Nineveh. And God said, "Do not judge, or you will be judged." And he kept judging, so God withered the vine. And Jonah experienced the uncomfortable heat of the midday sun in the desert above Nineveh. He experienced God not being merciful to him because he was not being merciful to the people of Nineveh. Even though Jonah's sins were forgiven, and Jonah was a participant in the grace of Christ, but his experience at that time was because he was being judging and unmerciful. And I wonder if in our own Christian lives, when we feel ourselves to be withered and lifeless and distant from God, and we ask ourselves why, if perhaps sometimes the answer will be on account of our being people who are judging others. And only you can really search your heart about this and ask God to show you. And I know that this subject of judging, it didn't really come up on my radar as a Christian until I'd been a Christian probably for about 20 years. I didn't really even begin to think about it and what it really meant and to understand what it would be like for me to be the person who's judging, and then to begin to see that that was me and that was what I was like. It's a very subtle and it's a very difficult sin to diagnose and understand and identify and deal with. But Jesus is commanding us not to do it. Do not judge. And you will not be judged. But with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I think in the church, we aim at being people of grace because we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And we aim at being people of grace because our Father is a Father of grace, as we sang in Psalm 103. But judging other people is so easy. And often our thoughts are disgraceful towards other people because we're looking at the bottles going in the bottle bank, or whatever it is, we're looking across the fence at our next door neighbour and what they're doing. You know, we're looking at people saying things, and we're thinking we know what the motivation is, why they're saying them. And it's all so easy. We're acting like we know everything and we can judge. And maybe there's a sin that lies behind the sin of judging, and it's a sin of arrogance that human beings generally seem to think that they know a great deal more than they really do. And probably our age is more guilty of that than any age before, because we have the internet. So if you're going to identify this in your life and deal with it, if you're still wanting to know whose bottles they were, you've got a fight in your hands, because judging does not go down without a fight. The Christian church can be a hotbed of judgments, and it takes a great deal to change a church to being a nurturing place of grace. And the human heart will be a place of judgments, and it takes a great deal to turn that around. Let's have a little look at a passage in Acts, and then we're done. So Peter had been called by God to go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and preach the gospel to him and his household. And Cornelius and his household received the word of God and repented and believed and received the Holy Spirit just as the Jews had done. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles, Cornelius and his house, also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, so this is Peter having come from Cornelius' house, having witnessed Cornelius, who'd called his household together and his friends and a whole crowd, and the Spirit of God fell upon them and they believed in Jesus. Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and the circumcised believers in the church at Jerusalem criticized Peter and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now I have to watch. I may be judging the circumcised believers. Maybe they said, "Peter, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." This is one issue about reading words. You can never exactly tell how they were said, and you have to interpret. I don't know how they were said. Maybe the accusation was gentle. Maybe it was strident. But they judged. And Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. So he tells them what we can read again in Acts 11, which has already been recorded in Acts 10. It's so important that Luke records it twice. And the story of Cornelius and his household receiving the gospel, receiving Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then Peter comes to the end of what he says. So he says to these circumcised believers, if God gave them the same gift, the Holy Spirit, as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? And then we read that when they heard this, they had no further objections. And they praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Now, you'll notice in this first part that there's some really, really good news. Because Gentiles have become Christians. Which I guess most of you, if not all, are Gentiles. Pretty good news. If it wasn't the case that Gentiles were becoming Christians and the gospel was only for Jews, then we wouldn't be here. So this passage and this story is really good news for the world, and it's really good news for us. And it ought to make a man and a woman sing for joy. And when Peter's told the story and so on, they ought to be singing for joy. Well, there's no singing for joy with these circumcised believers. They don't hear the good news. All they see is a judgment that they can make. And this is one characteristic of us judging. We may be hearing some very good news. We may be hearing, seeing some really good things. But we're concerned with our scruples. We're concerned with the things that aren't the way we think they should be. The way they've been done, or the way that we're used to, or what we like. It's new. It's different. That's a mark of judging. Judging is ready to, it's thankfully not happening in my experience, but it is ready here to undermine church leaders. But there's good news. Peter went down to Cornelius' house and spoke about Jesus, and God did the rest. It was from the heart of God that this good news came. Now I'm glad that it wasn't one of these uncircumcised believers that was given the task of sharing, because they might not even have done it unless their hearts were changed. Even Peter's heart had to be changed. Even Peter had to have a vision before he was willing to go to Cornelius' house. Do not call what God has called clean unclean. But we are people of good news. And the only way good news is going to get out of that from us, the good news that God is gracious, that God forgives sins, that there is always hope for people. If they turn to Jesus, they will receive forgiveness and mercy and a place in his family. That good news has got to get out from us, but it's not going to get out from us if we're people of judgment. So if we were to just look at a recording or transcript of all the words that we've spoken, say, in the last week, what would we find? How many judgments? And how much gospel? Because it's often one or the other. We're either good news people or we're judgment people. There's a challenge for you and me. The circumcised believers do repent of their judgments when Peter tells them what actually happened and just says, look, I couldn't oppose God. I couldn't stop the Holy Spirit coming on the Gentiles. God did that, it wasn't me. And so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance into life. Since they praised God, they had no further objections. They stopped their judgments. It can happen. But it's not so easy, really, because even in what they say at the end there, there is a judgment. Even the Gentiles, they say. They don't just say, oh, so God has granted the Gentiles repentance into life. Hallelujah. They say, even the smelly Gentiles. That's what they're saying. Even those unclean ones that we... So there's still a judgment there. See how hard it is to escape judgment so that we become truly good news people. If the circumcised believers had been teleported from Jerusalem down to Joppa to Cornelius' house at that moment, how would they have got on? They would have had a difficulty because there was still that judgment in their hearts. The Gentiles were unclean. Well, my friends, this is a great sin, judging. And it is one of the temptations that we as Christians face, and that is to judge. And to go around all the time without evidence, without sufficient evidence, and say, here's what the story of the bottles is. Here's what the story of why they said that and why they're doing that is. And we don't know. And we can never really know. Because we're not God. Only God can judge. With all the facts. And with the ability to handle the facts. And come to a right decision. Jesus did not say, try not to judge. He said, don't do it. It is in opposition to the gospel. And if we've identified any of it in our lives tonight, then we need to repent of it. And we need to come to God and ask for his mercy and for his work in our hearts so that we can be people who are people of good news and not people of judgment in our homes and communities and workplaces. Now we're going to come back to this in a couple of weeks, hopefully. And there's a lot more to say about it. We'll look at Jesus. We'll be surprised, perhaps, in a sense, to think that Jesus didn't ever judge. Because he tells us that. And we'll come to that and we'll think about that. And we'll see some more about what a great story, what a great thing it is when judgment is put aside so that the gospel can be heard in its place. So, let's take what we have thus far. And let's use it with grace in our communities. And let's be really sensitive in our spirits to any time that we've come to a conclusion about someone or something that they've done or said that we have no complete basis to come to a conclusion on. And we've condemned them when we don't know whether we can or not because we're not God. Do not judge, Jesus said. Or you will be judged. Let's pray together. So Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. It is living, it is powerful, it is active, it searches us, and it has done so. Forgive me for any sin in preaching this, Lord, because, Father, I confess that, yeah, preaching is often beset with a temptation to judge the hearers. Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all evil. And help us, Lord, to be people of good news and of grace at all times. For Jesus' sake. Amen.